let's begin with the Ran. And I wanted today I want to read the Ran and the Rush, whatever we're going to do with them, present at the Shittos. Tomorrow I'd like to go to the tour and the Shulchan Aruch and go through the questions actually that I asked on the sheet and wrap up the Siman tomorrow. On Sunday, I don't know if this will hold throughout, but my tentatively plan to use Sundays to do what I'll call Bekiyas. But Bekiyas here is not doing some other parak, but it's actually to do the Gemaras that we're going to need to try to do them more efficiently. Starting with the Mishnah and Sadi Vavam Beis, there are about 3.5 lot here, and then we'll go to parak called Habasar. So that is a way sort of covering a little ground, almost all of which, except for maybe Netilas Shadayim in parak called Habasar, which is not relevant directly to what we're doing here or there. But this way, it's maybe a more efficient way of helping you prepare so that when we get to all the other simanim, it's much, much easier. So that's at least for Sunday and Monday. There'll be some type of a shiur. I'm not sure on what at my house after the hike, before, during, or after the meal at some point, something like that. Okay, so let's start with the Ran. And the Ran, just a notation on how to use the riff here. There actually, if I'm not mistaken, there should be. Do they still do it? There are multiple systems of how the riff is marked. One of them, the one that's not, which is new, because it's not really part of the riff, is in the Oz V'Hadar. Most of you, not all of you, have an Oz V'Hadar Shas. In the Oz V'Hadar Shas, so because they reset the type, so you have a totally different numbering system. We are currently, looking at this run, we are on Kuf Dalet, Daf Kuf Dalet. But if you look in the if you're looking at an Oz V'Hadar Shas, how many, by the way, are using? How many of you are not using Oz V'Hadar? Okay. So this is not as relevant if you're not using Oz V'Hadar, but those who are using Oz V'Hadar, if you look on top of the print of the riff, you will see in brackets Lamed Vav Amud Aleph to Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Now, Josh, I assume you are looking at probably Lamed Vav Amud Aleph right now. So that is the pagination in the Vilna Shas. Of course, the problem is if you use the Oz V'Hadar, but somebody's giving you Maamar Makomis using the Vilna Shas print, so that's how you know. There is another system also, which is printed on this side. I don't see one on my page here, but I see if I turn back one page to page Kuf Beis in the Oz V'Hadar, and it's probably Lamed Hey, Lamed Beis, or something in the unless it's Lamed Hey Amud Aleph in the Vilna. You'll see in the margins there is a number tough. Tough mem. And that is a reference to a different pagination system or reference system of the riff. I don't know if it goes back to the first printing of the riff. The riff was first printed in, I believe, Venice in the early 1600s. So that's a third sort of system. But you, the one that's most common is the Vilna system. So I'm going to give you, if I remember when I give you riff, to the extent I give you, if I try to put both in, but I don't always remember to do so. Okay, so let's start with the Ran. And the Ran, Dibar Maschil Garsinon. I'm going to let one more day pass by asking for a volunteer because nobody has told me they have an issue with reading. If by tomorrow nobody tells me an issue with reading, I'll assume that nobody has an issue with reading. So anyway, any souls would like to volunteer bravely here to read? One. You did yesterday. Alter, go ahead. Okay. I don't have to ask you the trend of question. Can you read and take notes at the same time? Sorry, that's a insider joke from last year. My shiur assistant that I always forget. Yeah, he could walk and chew gum at the same time. Go ahead. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Fine. So now he explains. Now, akal sun kama libata baruba. Why does the Mishnah say if you don't recognize the gid, it's asa umafar kinan? Okay, so I'll say this once. Bria is a very hyper correct pronunciation. That's what you expect it to be. In the Beis Medrash, they say beria, and they happen to actually be right in the Beis Medrash. The reason why they say that a lot of times Beis Medrash pronunciations actually reflect natural phenomenon of language. So how do you say the mitzvah of reproduction? How would you say it, Alter, the way you're reading? you would say Priya Uraviya, right? You're doing what would probably be biblical Hebrew. Except that if you look in the vocalized manuscripts of Mishnah, which means the correct translation, it's Priya Uraviya, right? The language, the base medrash, is doing something it's supposed to be doing here. So it's Beria or Beria, not a Bria. Even though in the you'll see Yom Ha'Noraim is coming. It's Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Shabbos on Sunday. So Vesachto Kitzva Lechol. Is it Briosecha or Biriosecha? You might see both printed there, but it's probably supposed to be Biriosecha, even though the hypercorrect one is Briosecha. Okay, so let's just say, let's sound like everybody else in the base medrash who doesn't know what you just heard, and we'll just say, call it a Beria. Okay. Fine. So, Klomar, the Gid Beria, have any? Melobato. Okay, now, here's where it becomes relevant. The Kasav. Right, Elisha. Here I might say Berivia, or you could say Rivia. Ka'amar, the Hainu Bishishim. In other words, it doesn't mean the Batal Beruba. It means it should be Batal Berivia. Once you get enough of them, how much is enough of them? Well, we know how much enough of them is. Enough of them would be Shishim. Okay, so now the Ran responds. Ruma, Ruba Mamish Mashma. You know what Ruba means? What is Ruba Mashma? What does Ruba mean, Simon? What is Ruba? A majority. Not a trick question. A majority. Libatil Baruba. That's majority. 60 is not a 60. 60 is a more than super majority, right? But you wouldn't say you need 60. Ruba is Mashma Chad Betray. Okay. Go ahead. Bechol. And therefore, ulavatu leitaima. Okay. So here the Ran has introduced, he throws on a line there, Dvarim hanivlalim and Dvarim hanivlaim. What is going on here? What are Dvarim hanivlalim? Things that, what? Things that blend together, that mix. And then there's Dvarim hanivlaim, which means things that are absorbed. Okay. Now, both of these have the capacity in different ways to flavor. But there is a difference. There is a difference. Take a simple example. Is there an Issur d'Oraisa if I take cubes of meat, and I like meat cereal, and I pour some milk in them, and I eat my cereal. Is that Asur min HaTorah? It's not Asur min HaTorah. Why is it Asur min HaTorah? Okay, so it requires Bishul. Now, that is both a technical requirement, and it is also a non-technical requirement. What I mean by a technical requirement is it has to be something called Bishul. It can't be, let me give you an example, a shocking example. Is a cheeseburger Asur min HaTorah? Assume the meat is kosher.
No, as long as it's not cooked together.
Yeah. Okay, I have no bikias in this, but when I see the Burger King commercials, I would see the burger on the flame, and then they put a piece of cheese on top of it. I'm not sure that cheese is real cheese, but okay, whatever. American cheese is not sure. What?
We assume it's not that cow's that's being cooked milk, or is that milk?
That is absolutely unnecessary to be basim chal d'oraisa. You're right. The Gemara does talk about that. Mm-hmm. There are a series of drushas, a blot and a half, towards the end of the kolabasa that work at him. What about if it's not its own milk? What if it's one species with another cow's cow meat with it? That's all d'oraisa. I'm asking. I take a piece of cheese and I put it on top of my hamburger, which is being broiled on the fire. Is that an Issur d'Oraisa? Ellie?
I would say no, because it's silly, not visual.
Okay, so, I'll get, all right, fine. Let me, let me, so that's a question. Is tzli the same din as bishul? Because min ha-Torah, what would you say? Is tzli the same thing as bishul min ha-Torah?
No.
Of course it is. I'm going to respond with the same certitude that you do know. How do you cook the Korban Pesach? Tzli'esh u'matzel sor me'yochlehu. Did any of you do Shnayim Mikavach HaTargum yet this week? Have you gotten to the last Aliyah, which you hear many, many times a year? What does it say you do with the Korban Pesach? Uvi shalta v'yachalta. It's a famous, famous stira. To which the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim reconciles, which says, Vayavashlu ha-Pesach ba'esh. So, but I'm not actually saying that you're wrong, but let me give you a different example. Let's say I want to, I do appreciate how unfortunate it is. Let's say I want to have my steak to be really tender and juicy. So I have a great idea. Take out my frying pan, stick butter on the bottom, and when the butter is nice and sizzling, put the steak in. Is that an Issa D'oraisa? Not true. Chema is challah.
Also cheese?
Cheese, that would also be, yeah. It may not be for the reasons I'm about to describe, but no. It would be challah. Yes.
Does it make a difference? Like the pasuk says bechalav ima, right? Does it make a difference bechalav or like the cheese is on it versus you're using the butter?
The base could be with also. It doesn't have to be in, but that's not what it is. So there is a drasha that Gemara has in Sanhedrin, Daf Dalet, in a totally unrelated sugya. It's about Yeshem LeMikra, Yeshem LeMasoros, for those of you familiar with that discussion about how to read psukim, how to read words. The Gemara says there, that derech bishul asra Torah, the Gemara wants to know, how do you know to read b'chalev imo, not b'chalev imo? So the way the words work is, chalav means milk, that's what's called the nifrad form, or the absolute form, and when you want to make it nismach, or the bound form, or sometimes called the construct form, so you say chalev. This counts for biblical Hebrew zook here. So chalav becomes chalev. Okay, the first vowel reduces. The word chalev, which is a segulate, does not reduce. Chalev is fat, and chalev is fat of. It's like melech is king, and melech is king of. It can be melech or melech yisra. Now, the Gemara wants to know the following. When it says, lo sehagat shashel gedi b'chalev imo, how do you know to read it b'chalev imo and not b'chalev imo? What? You frimmer. Okay. No, the chalev would be asur, but firstly, there's no iser bishul on chalev. There's no iser bishul on chalev. So the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to use this to talk about, and don't ask how this relates to Yeshayim, Lamikra, Yeshayim, Saras, it's one of the examples. And one response the Gemara gives, I think that might actually be one of the the second response of the Gemara, one of the two. But one response the Gemara gives is, Derech Bishul Asra Torah. And therefore, you can't read it, Lo Sevashel Gedi, Bechelev Imo. Frying. Rashi, Tosis, and the Ran all say that to be basa b'chol medaraisa, it has to be bishul, not tigun. Butter, or chalev, is frying. Now, this is not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, oddly, and this is the first simon of Hilchos Basa B'chol. We're not going to get to this until next semester. It's kind of interesting. Nobody really discusses until you get to the Achronim, do we really hold this way? Do we not hold this way? Okay, but the bottom line is that one aspect of lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo is it has to be bishul. Tigun is not bishul. Tzli, Eli may also not be bishul. It's discussed in the Achron on the Pesach Tshuva quotes. Ishun, smoking it, may also not be considered bishul. So bishul can be a technical process, right? By Korban Pesach, the Torah demands that it be roasted, that it not be cooked in a liquid, but rather it be dry cooked, if you want to call it that. Now, what else does bishul imply? And this is important because basar b'chalav is the makar, potentially, for a very, very important din in Yeridea, that we have already briefly touched upon. From the fact that the Torah prohibits it, derech bishul, what is it that you're accomplishing when you, what is different between when you cook milk and meat together versus when you have meat cereal? When you just pour the milk into the meat and then you eat it. What's different, Kesser?
Whether the substances become incorporated into each other.
Correct. Whether there's blia or whether there's nisinas tam. Right? There's a difference between eating milk and meat together versus eating either milk or meat which has absorbed the flavor of one of the other things. To give a very interesting parallel, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about we taking a piece of bread and cooking it or soaking it in wine, perhaps. Certainly cooking it in wine, maybe even soaking it. In one and eating it. If you take a piece of bread and you soak it in wine, the question you have, or cook it in wine, you have to ask the question whether tam ki'ikar. In other words, basically what you're eating in that case is the heter, which has absorbed the flavor of the iser throughout. Heter mitzdarif the iser says, no, I'm eating two things together in the same bite, and while I eat half a kazayas of grape jam and half a kazayas of bread, so if you believe that heter mitzdarif the iser, then the nazir who eats half a kazayas of bread with half a kazayas of grape jam at the same time has eaten a kazayas of iser. It happens to be we paskin that there are only two areas in halacha where we say heter mitzdarif le'iser, which is nazir and kachem. Everywhere else, heter is not mitzdarif le'iser for the shear, create a shear of violating the iser d'oraisa, or being chayev for malchus. It might be an iser d'oraisa anyway of chatzi shear. However, tam ke'ikar is a big machlokas harishonim. Those who hold the tam ke'ikar is d'oraisa hold it's everywhere. So that's, in effect, the difference between meat cereal, meat with the milk poured in it, and meat that has actually absorbed the flavor of the milk. In order to be basar b'chalav in daraisa, number one, there has to be tam of the basar and the chalav, or chalav and the basar, and it also has to be derech bishul. There's another way, aside from all the other possibilities, it's the one that the Gemara gives the example, how else might you get meat to absorb the flavor of milk or vice versa?
Soak it.
Kavush. Kavush. In effect, we call pickling. Right? That is another way of getting it. And the Gemara comments, the chiddush of basar b'chalav is the e taru lo kula yoma b'chelba. This is, I think, on daf kufches. E taru lo kula yoma b'chelba, if you soak it the entire day in milk, it's mutter min haTorah. Whereas everything else, in everything else in Hilchos Tarovis, where you hold a tam ki'ikar, if you hold this d'oraisa, tam ki'ikar, it doesn't matter how the flavor gets in. And it doesn't matter whether I soaked my meat in this pork brine. It doesn't matter if I cook my meat with the pork. It makes no difference. If the tam gets absorbed, that's tam ki'ikar. Only by basar b'chalav is in the Rabbanan, because derech bishul asur Torah. So, when we come back here now to talk about this, he talks about dvarim hanivlalim and dvarim hanivlaim. These are both examples of a tarov. What kind of a taroves? Lach or yavesh? Taros lach balach. But, so for our purposes in this sugya, it makes no difference. Either way, even midrabban on the shear is going to be shishim. But it will matter in other areas. So the Ran here just quickly puts in, this you didn't have to mention, dvarim hanivlalim and dvarim hanivlalim, you require shishim. Go ahead. Okay, so even with Rabbanon, it's batil, because 60 is not relevant. Why? Lo shaycha haklal. Go ahead. Yeah, in other words, we're not dealing with bitul atam here. I mean, the things are not mixing together. When I have three slices of salami, there's no transfer of flavor. It's not a problem of chemistry, it's a problem of mathematics. Umishum hachi. If this is a yavesh b'yavesh, that's what the gid case is. The leka taima, the atzanan. Right. In other words, even though once we have enough in the rotev to be mevatel the tam of the gid anasha, or the chatichas nevela, or the chatichas dug tame, so at that point, we're not dealing with transfer of tam anymore, so the fact that they all become usur has nothing to do with tam. And that's why the Ran says shishim isn't relevant. It's only relevant to talk about shishim when you have an issue of tam, or if you're being gozer because of tam, right? Do we have a shear of shishim on mimimino? Yes, we do. Where? Lach balach, because it's a gzera min b'shein omino. We don't make that gzera by yavesh b'yavesh because it's a two-step gzera. First, you'd have to cook it together. Secondly, it would have to be min b'shein omino. So because it's a double d'rabbanon, in this case, we don't make the gzera. Now, afal gav, I'm sorry, afal gav, you read it. Okay.
So my
Okay, fine. So that's the first part. I'm going to read the last paragraph in the run, and then we'll, when we get to the rush, I'm going to ask someone else to resume. V'raya l'davar, d'yavesh b'yavesh afil amid rabbanon chad b'trei batel. So how do you know from the Gemara? Is it not black and white, but midamrina b'perek hazav, in the fourth paragraph of Baba Metzia, the Gemara says, ha'truma v'abikur n'chayav v'alayim misa v'chomesh v'asur n'lazarn v'olim b'echad rameo tu'un ruchitza sedayim v'harev shemesh. So number one, a zar who eats it is chayav misa b'dei shamayim. If he eats it b'shogeg, he has to pay back plus a chomesh. A zar is not allowed to eat it. The shear bittel is 100 plus 1, and it requires rechitzas yadayim before you eat it. And if you're tameh, you have to go to the mikveh and wait for the sun to set harav shemesh. So these are things that are all required by truma and bikurim. Harei elu b'truma o bikurim asha ein kein b'maiser. These do not apply to maiser. So what does that mean? Number one, if you eat maiser sheni when you're tameh, or you eat outside of Yerushalayim, what's your punishment? Not misa b'dei shamayim. It's malkos. Number two, if you eat ma'aser sheni b'shogeg outside of Yerushalayim, or shogeg b'tuma, so maybe you're supposed to replace the ma'aser sheni. Do you eat on a chomesh? No. Number three, is the zar allowed to eat ma'aser sheni? The answer is, of course. You bring your ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim and you eat it. Number four, does ma'aser sheni require mea ve'echa to be mevatalit? And the answer is, obviously in our context, no. Do you require a chitzas yadayim for regular ma'aser sheni if it's not bread? And the answer is no. And do you require harav shemesh if you're tameh and you go to the mikveh? The answer is no. Be aware that the way it works is, if you're tameh, you can't eat ma'aser sheni, truma, or kachim. This is a mission, I think, at the end of Nagayim. Then when you go to the mikveh, you remove a certain level of tumah. You're now called a tful yom. You cannot eat truma or kachim, but you're now allowed to eat ma'aser sheni. When the sun sets, you're allowed to eat truma now, but you can't eat kachim if you are mechusa kapara. If it's a woman who gave birth, she needs to bring her karban. If it's a zav, if it's a zava, if it's a, I'm going to put mitzora in here. If anybody's doing dafyomi now, there's a mishnah in Krasus, arba mechusre kapara, in the latter part of the first parak. So none of these requirements of truma bikurim apply to ma'aser sheni. The one that the Ran zeroes in on, obviously, is olin be'echad umeya. So, the Gemara explains with reference Mashein came b'maiser the batel beruba. It's batel berov. V'hasam vaday midrabbanon ka'amar. Now it's true. It's batel berov. But how do you know? How do you know that's batel berov even midrabbanon? Maybe that's midoraisa. So what is the Ran's proof going to be? I'll read it in a second. But what's the Ran's proof that when the Gemara says there that it's batel berov maiser sheni, it means not only midoraisa, but it means lemaisa it's batel berov. What's the Ran's Raya? It's the next line. You know him? Yeah, you're comparing it to Truma. You're saying Truma requires Mea V'Echad. Maiser only requires a Rov. The requirement of Mea V'Echad by Truma, as I explained yesterday, is by what kind of a Taroves? Only. Min? Bemina. Minatora, what's required by Truma, Min Bemina? The answer is Rov. In other words, the requirement of Me'a Ve'echad by Truma is a din derabanan. So if the Mishnah, the Bryce, is saying that Truma and Bikurim require Me'a Ve'echad, Masha'in Kein Re'maiser, obviously, when we say Meiser only requires a robe, is that only Midaraiser or even Midarabanan? It has to be even Midarabanan, because you're comparing it to Truma. The shear of Me'a Ve'echad by Truma is the Rabbanon in the first place. But the Raisa, you don't even require that. So if we're saying that Truma requires Mea Ve'echad, the Rabbanon, then when Maisa requires a Rov, it's even on a Rabbanon level. So that's what the Ran says. That V'hasam Vaday Mid Rabbanon Kamar Dumya De'echad Umeya De Truma. Fine. Now, the Ran now adds on his own, you could come up with a wicked Kula from that Gemara, by the way. You know what Kula you could have come up with? Just on the simple reading of the Gemara? You could have said that Maser Sheni is botel chad vitrei, batel barov, even by lach belach. Because the Gemara there doesn't talk about what kind of a taroves it's dealing with. So the Ran says, on his own, he just says, that it has to be that ubiyavesh biyaveshu. The Gemara must be talking about yavesh biyavesh there. The ilu belach, shishim be'inan. Okay, that's really in parentheses. But vika'omar, de botel baruba. Klomar, chad vitrei, kishar ha'isurim, shalach miralav, kemoshech mira betruma. Okay. So the Ran says, when the Gemara says it's batel berov, that has to be even on a Rabbanon level. Now, and he says, the leka lameimar d'chi kamar hasam beruba berivya. In other words, by multiplicity, kamar d'hainu shishim, The imkein hechi kamar stama mash enkein b'maisir but the bata b'rvia. So the Ran says, okay, so you know what I'm going to tell you? You know, ruba doesn't mean ruba. Ruba means ruba, but ruba means a multiplier. So the Ran says, can't be. You know why? Because how could the imkein hechi kamar stama, how can the Gemara just say, masha enkein b'maisir, the bata b'rvia? Truma nami bata b'rvia. Is that true? Is truma bata b'rvia? How is a bata b'rvia? 101. How would Meiser be batal b'revia? Shishim. Revia means having, we might call it overwhelming amount. If you want to read batal b'ruva means batal b'revia, then guess what? Both Truma and Bikurim and Meiser Sheni are batal b'revia. Okay, the revia is slightly different. But you can't say Truma's batal b'me'aviyachad. Meiser's batal b'revia. What should you say? Truma's batel b'mei ve'achad, Meiser's batel b'shishim. In other words, you're either going to say they're both batel b'raviyah, or they're both batel in a specific number. So the Gemara, so Ruba, the Ran says, cannot mean raviyah. One second, let me just finish the thought. Bishlama hachan our Gemara in Gedan Asha, ika l'dachuke, the mishum d'tzran v'imlav kulan asurin, da'filu b'elef lo batel, samach shistama b'batel b'ruba, da'hainu rivya. Aval hasam de truma nami b'teila b'rivya, the echarumea, im isa de la maizir tzarach shishim, havalei l'farushe rivya didei, kama. Elamid de ka'amar stama, shmamina de ruba mamish ka'amar. Right, so the only way to beat that Gemara, so you have to, I know this is details in the Ram, but you have to think about every line and what his proof is. The Gemara Bava Metzia says that Truma is batel be'mea ve'echad, Meiser is batel be'ruba, and even if with the word ruba should be understood as rivya, that Gemara cannot fly. It can't be understood as rivya because then Truma is also batel be'rivya. It's a different shear of rivya, but it's nonetheless batel be'rivya. And the fact that it enumerates the shear by Truma, the Me'av Echad, and turns around by Meiser, says Beruba, it obviously means, Ruba means Rove. It means a majority. It's not Rivya. It's because you would say, you know, if you say that the Yankees overwhelmed whoever they were playing, they beat them Berivya, then you could say that, what was the score? I don't know. If the other team scored 3 runs, how many did the Yankees score? That I don't think has ever happened, but they scored 12 runs. That would be Berivia, 9 runs. You wouldn't say if the Yankees won 4-3, you might say they won with a rove. You wouldn't say they won Berivia. Right? That would require some type of great multiple. So that's the Ron's point. That Meiser, if the Gemara meant Rivia, Meiser and Truma are both batel b'rivya, just a different amount. One of them is winning 11-3, and one of them is winning 25-3. But it's not that one of them. But you wouldn't say that both of them would be blowouts. There's a blowout and a bigger blowout. That's what Rivia is. Ruba means you just win. You have a majority.
So
yes.
I'm not sure I understand.
No. Why are you picking Shishim's? Shishim is only there because of Tam. Think about the Rambam we looked at. We didn't read and share. I must have looked at some of you in Seder. The Rambam talks about, by Mimbamino, he said that Menat Torah, it's Batal B'Rov. The Rabbanon, they required Adshei Ovid Hadavar Be'etzem Mi'uto. It required to become so insignificant, and they're different Shirim, the Rambam said. Based upon the Chashivus, the significance, the Homer, of the Isser that's involved, determines how much you need to be overwhelming. So most Isserim 60 is enough to be overwhelming. But Truma and its family require Meah. And Arlen Kalar can require 200. And Yain Nesach and Tevel, no amount can be considered overwhelming, each for its own reasons. But I would say that if you even think about the way the Rambam constructs him, he's not a, he in fact probably holds like the righted. That's the Pashtus in the Rambam, as the Beis Yosef points out. So the Rambam, describes this really, it's all the same. It's all Ye'oved Hadavar Be'otzem Mi'uto. And the only question is, for different Yisurim, you require different amounts. Okay?
And then that's the question, that's less about the Mevatel, the Tam, more being Mevatel in Yisurim.
Correct. So the choice of Shishim originally comes from Agzera, probably Otu Mimbishen Omino, but, although for the Rambam, by the way, less so, because What does the Rambam hold the shear is by min b'sheino mina? He must say shishim somewhere, but for the Rambam sheet in particular, more than any other rishon, how do you know whether min b'sheino mina was batel? You give it to a guy to taste. Yeah, the Rambam, for the Rambam, so we'll see, the Balei HaTosfos might hold that if you have shishim already, you don't even need it to give it to a kfela. It would appear the Rambam's view is that if you have a kfela available, under all circumstances, you must give it to the kfela. You can't rely upon shishim. You can't even assume based upon shishim. You must give it to the kfela. So if all, you know, so if all we show him, the Rambam would be the last one to say that shishim is actually a shear in tam per se, even though it really is. He may say it explicitly at some point, because I'm sure he must talk about when you don't have a kfela that you use shishim. But nonetheless, it's less tied to tam. But the Rambam sees this as just as how is more, a lot more, a lot more. But it's all sort of part of the same continuum. Whereas rove is the din d'oraisa. It's a totally different din. Okay. Any other questions about the Ran so far? Okay, so then the Ran says, V'chein das balei atosas al fat. Miu kiamrina de yavish be yavish batel chad betray, afilu mid rabaran, hani mili be mimimino. Therefore, lo achmu rabbanon biyavesh biyavesh. The Ran says this is only true that bitul yavesh biyavesh lemaisa by min bimino. Why? Because by even by lach belach, it's batul min haTorah. And in this case, toyevshel lemaisa li the isur deraisa. How are you ever going to come to violate isur deraisa here? With the Yavesh B'Yavesh, what might you do to the Yavesh B'Yavesh that could create a bigger problem? With your three pieces of meat, what might you do? The worst thing you might do that you would think would create more problems? Cook them together. But what would happen if you cooked them together? It would be lach balach, but still batel min haTorah, because min demino, min haTorah, even lach balach is batel barov. So now that you have the Yavesh B'Yavesh, you're afraid that you're going to come to cook it together. And then, because you might cook this together, you might cook min b'sheino mina together. That's too far. That's what the Ran says. Aval b'min b'sheino mina delach b'lach afilu mida oraisa azlina basar taima den afilu b'yavesh nami b'inat shishim ki heche dechi mivasha lu bahadadi. I probably should be bahadadi. What do you have in the Vilna Shas? Kahadadi or bahadadi?
I'm lost.
Any of you? Kahadadi. You're in the Vilna Shas, not in those other. No, I need to know. I need a Vilna Shas person. I think that's an error. It should be Bahadadi. Lo leisei lidei taima davi sur deraisa. All right, so there, what goes there? So, by the way, it works out though. According to the Ran, the fact that Yavesh be that the Mimishei Nomino is not Batel Barov and Yavesh be Yavesh is that deraisa or the Rabbanon? According to the Ran, that Mimishei Nomino is not batel barov and requires shishim. Is that midoraisa or midorabanan? What? The rabbanon. Lest you come to cook it together. No, lach balach. But yavish, I'm sorry, yavish biyavish is the rabbanon that you might come to cook it together. This is also, as you'll see the tour, it's also the position of Rabbeinu Baruch Bal Sefer Akshula. Right, the tour will quote that. There is, I'll note, and I mentioned this before, you'll see this, I read it in Shir, there's a Hago Sharei Dura cited by the Darkei Moshe, who says that it's not, that rove is not sufficient min haTorah by mimishim, you know, of yavesh b'yavesh, and the Aruch HaShulchan points to a Tosos in Pesachim Dachman Dalma Alf as holding that position as well. I think it's incorrect reading of Tosos. I think Tosos in Pesachim Dachman Dalma Alf, the bottom Tosos, is talking about lach b'lach, not yavesh b'yavesh. So I don't think it's relevant to this. But there is such a position Hago Sharei Dura. The Aruch HaShulchan also talks about a very interesting question, which is, what would the shear be, midaraisa, of yavesh biyavesh by min b'sheino mina? Okay, if it's drabbanon, we understand that midaraisa it's batel barov, but midrabbanon, they're afraid that you'll come to cook it together. But if you say that min haTorah, yavesh biyavesh of min b'sheino mina is not batel, what would the shear be, min haTorah? Because remember that shishim is not a shear midaraisa. Shishim is just a indicator of typical tam. And in this case, by yavesh b'yavesh, they're not cooked. Lamaisa now, they're not cooked together. So what would be the shear?
Why wouldn't it be batel?
That's a fair question. That's even a better question. That's the starting question. Why would it not be batel?
This only the scenario only works in a case of like orlo, right? Like how do you even, what is there even to be batel where it's not recognizable?
We've discussed this already. Let's say I don't know. I could have apple, orange, and well.
You can see it's an apple.
You know which one.
So I'm going to give the following. No. The Shach's example is you have apple, banana, and orange, and one of them is orlo, but you don't know which one. But I'm going to make a different suggestion of how to get a tarubis, and we didn't quite suggest this. Let's say it's very hard to tell the difference between the pea. They look alike almost, but they taste different. What? He mentions about the being hard to distinguish the pieces, right? He doesn't talk about whether at all if you pull them out, but it's not clear to me he's saying what I'm suggesting now. Let's assume for the moment that a CJ, that the pieces look alike, but they taste different. So the question would, because if they taste the same and they look the same, then that's called mimimina. So why would it be awesome in HaTorah, do you think? Now, why might it be usur and row be insufficient? But then it's going to create other problems. What do you think, Ellie?
Well, I guess most simply without changing anything, you call it a siyag d'oraita.
I know that we have siyagim d'oraita, but we might have siyagim d'oraita. Lo sikravu according to the Rambam. There's avast rav nasan. No, that's what they. That I'm trying. Who says that bal yira bal yimatz is a siyag by chametz atu achila? Yeah, it's not very common. It's more than a last resort.
What is that?
A siyag d'oraita means the Torah prohibited something for as exerit as something else. So the example I cited is one is the Rambam definitely holds that lo sikravu, the isser colloquially of negiya, lo sikravu is an isser d'oraita according to the Rambam. You get malchus d'oraita. It would based upon an avas d'rav nasan, it appears to be exerit d'oraita atubia. And then, in fact, there's a very strange Ezer Mikodesh in Evan Ezer. It's a parish on the bottom where he suggests that according to the Rambam, he thinks that according to the Rambam, if a person violated Lo Sikravu without any intent of having beer, it wouldn't be an Isur Doraisa.
Flies in the face of having to understand Gezerit in general.
What's that?
It flies in the face of how we understand Gezerit in general.
But certainly that most certainly embodies the idea that it's a preparatory act. I think he might not say it mitam zera. You could just say that lo sikravu legalo serva implies that once your intent is the megala erva, even the act of kreva is the raisa. You don't have to see, quite follow the terms. Bayira bayimase, owning chametz on Pesach Kesser might be viewed as a siyag that you might come to eat the chametz, right? If you own it, now you might come to eat it. Okay, so I don't think that's likely. Any other suggestions? Why midoraisa would it be aser? See, you're not thinking balabatish. It's not a balabatish svara. It's a conceptual svara, but you have to think for a moment like a balabas, which just means practically speaking.
You're going to taste it and
know it's awesome. Yeah. Right? In other words, it's osi lide taima. Now, that's why I don't like the example banana, apple, orange, where you don't know which it is, because, I mean, even there you're going to come to taste it, but you won't know when you're tasting it. Let's put it that way. Maybe that's a better example. Right? Because you're going to come to taste the isser. Well, that right. That's why I don't like the banana apple orange example.
So you don't know your taste in this either. Let's go back to the case where it has different taste, but it looks the same. Say different types of apples. You have one of them's Honeycrisp, but you know it tastes different.
Okay, but that's only one example.
I want to find a place. That would be if we're convinced of that. That would probably be the reason why. The only problem that creates, of course, is then no amount should be able to be mevatel it.
Right.
Because even if I have 1,000 pieces, eventually I'm going to hit the yisser. Right. I say balabatish because just think about what we know. It's batel, okay, nice. But now think about what it means in the real world. Okay, I have a pork rind. I don't know what a meat rind would be. And I eat the meat. Oh, it tastes very good. It tastes like a good hamburger. And I eat this piece. This doesn't taste like a hamburger. And so that might be why, but that wouldn't bring us to the shir of shishim. But it would explain why it's not batel b'na Torah b'rov. The only problem is they say shishim. So, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, ventures a possibility that maybe because it's could be asi lidei taima, it's not batel right now. In other words, the potential for tasting, for the distinctive taste, is what means that it's still ba'ola. And if you say that, something like that, that's why you require shishim, because the potential tasting there, he doesn't mean tasting when I eat piece by piece, he means when I cook it together. Because the potential for taste no longer is there, it's batel b'shishim. Okay, but so anyway, there is a shita, it's a difficult shita, that yavesh b'yavesh of mimishen amino is not batel m'daraisa b'rov. As the only person, the only authority I can trace that to, that I think actually says it, is the Hago Sharidura, but he doesn't say what the shear would be. It's just that a rov is insufficient. But the Ran doesn't think that way, most Rishon don't think that way. So fine. So now, here's the next very important line. V'chi sharinan. Here's the fun part. Go ahead. If you're in the Oz V'Hadar, it's six lines from the bottom, on the rightmost column, on Kuf Dalet, the right column. V'chi sharinan nami. Oh, I'm reading. I'm sorry. I weren't reading. V'chi sharinan nami min b'mino, hani mili lecho kol echad v'echad b'fnei atzmo. Ah, but it's only mutter if you eat them one at a time. Aval levashlam kulam kehechad kol hechad aleka shishim is aser. You're not allowed to cook them at once. You could cook them, but you won't be able to eat them if you don't have shishim. Dechevin the gazir rabbanon beno sein tam v'min b'mino imavashal hu kadadi yahavi taima v'yaser. But once the rabbanon, what does cooking do? Some of you said this before. When you have a tarovis of yavesh b'yavesh, and now you cook them, what does it do in effect? It turns it into a lach b'lach. Now, is this svara compelling? Is this svara compelling? That if you cook them together, if you're the Ran says two things. Number one, you have to eat them one by one. This is to exclude who's shita, obviously. The Rush, who says you can have a sandwich with all three of them on it. Now, so that's a machlokas, but let's accept that premise, that you can't eat them all at the same time. Does it then automatically follow from that, that you can't cook them together and then eat them?
Yes.
It automatically follows.
No.
I don't think
it's double. No, does it? I don't know how.
It logically follows, I think, because if you say you can't eat all of them, you're saying the isser still exists within it.
Mm-hmm.
Life's dormant.
So one very important question that we can't prove, but I think to me is pashut, but I think it's a machlokas achronim, is the prohibition of eating all three at the same time in Issa D'Oraisa and Issa D'Rabbanan. Which, in another way, putting it differently, is does the Ran, and you know this is whose sheet is this really? The Ran didn't create the sheet. Who created the sheet that you can't all three at once? Well, Tos is that, but it's the Rashba, really. Right, it's the Rashba. That you can eat all three, achas achas, but you can't eat all three at once. So, is the Rashba Shita, is that an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan? So, you're so persuaded. So, I think the Pashtus is it's a D'Oraisa, but it's a Machlokas. I think the Pashtus is a D'Oraisa. We'll talk about this a little more. I just want to address this point to Ran for now. Although, right. Okay, no, let's not. Let's address this question now, before we go to step two. Why do you think it's an Issa D'Rabbanan altar? What is the makor for bittul min haTorah? Okay, let's start Achrei Rabbah Mahatos. Yeah, it's a terrible drush to learn it. The Rishonim are backwards here, but nonetheless. You'll see what I mean in a second. Okay, Achrei Rabbah Mahatos. So let me ask you a question. Does that make any sense? I'm just here, by the way, feeding you what the Aruch HaShulchan says. It's not my own Chiddush. Achrei Rabim Lahatos. What does Achrei Rabim Lahatos mean? Let's forget what it actually means. How do Chazal understand Achrei Rabim Lahatos? Yes. Well, the way Chazal understand the Pasuk isn't entirely clear. But the way Chazal understand Acharei Rabim Lahatos means you follow a majority. You follow a majority. So what does that mean? We have a Din Torah. And Jared and Zachary and Tal are sitting at Din Torah. And Alter and I are having a dispute about the Shear system position. And somehow there's Dine Mamonos in this. And you're asked to... And you guys are asked to adjudicate, and Zachary and Jared rule in favor of me, and Tal rules in favor of Alter. So the Torah says, "Achrei, you both go to stone, okay?" So you're both from Detroit. So home field advantage doesn't help. I have New York. One lives in Teaneck, one went to school in Teaneck. That's good enough. So bottom line is, we follow the majority. So I win. Now, why is Tal's opinion batel? Well, the answer is because it can either be one or it can be the other. Either I win or you win. No. That's not din. We're talking about din now. Okay? Achrei Rabim Lahatos. Pshar has not learned from this. Pshar has learned from Emesu Mishpat Shalom Shiftu B'Sharechem. Okay? It's not learned from Din. So the answer is it's got to be one or the other. Now, when I have a tarovis of food, does it actually have to be one or the other? That's number one. That's why it's difficult. I'm not going to give you the answer. The Aruch HaShulchan works out some kind of answer. Hold on. Now, also, Achrei Rabim Lahatos usually means we kind of take a vote. A, B, C. Now, when it comes to Yavesh B'Yavesh, I understand we take a vote. We have two heter, one iser. I look at a piece and I say, what is this probably? The answer is, it's probably heter. I can eat it, etc. That's fundamentally whose position, the Rashba or the Rush? It's the Rashba's position, but it's not the Pasuk the Rashba quotes. It's the Pasuk the Rush quotes. But I don't care for now. I'm interested more conceptually. Forget the Pesukim. So that's one type. That's not, would you call that bittel? No. You wouldn't call that bittel. You would call that rove. You'd call that probability. Okay. Now, what other makor might there be min haTorah for bittel? Yes. Now, it's a question of how you get it from there, but the Rashba and a few other Rishonim say blood. The question is, how do you learn it from there? The Torah just says, V'lakach midama par midama sayer. What do we learn from that? What are the Chacham, not Rabbi Yehuda, hold? That Olin are not Mevatlin Zoso. But I have a very simple question. What could you have learned from that Pasuk? Nothing's Mevatel one another. Right? The Torah tells you, the Torah's purpose, obviously, there, is not to tell you about Bittel. Torah's purpose there is to tell you, the Kohen Gadol, how to throw the blood in the Kodesh. How to put the blood on the Mizbeah Hazad. That's what the Torah's purpose is. The Torah, in passing, makes clear that the Dam is not Mevatel the Dam. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, because it's Mememino. The Chachamim say, because Olin. The Gemara, in fact, asks, as the Aruch Shulchan points out, why do the Chachamim assume if it's only Olin a Mevatlin Zoso? Maybe Olin are Mevatlin Zoso. Maybe only if it's Olin and Min Bimino. You need both. Right? And I'm just taking it a step further. Who says anything is Mevatel anything? The Torah tells you, take the Dama Par Dama Sar. You say, Dama Par is Meruba Mi Dama Sayir. So what? Doesn't make a difference. So the Aruch HaShulchan quotes kind of a suggestion as to why there's something extra. There's an extra word there. Midama par. It could have said midama par v'hasayir. And it said midama sayir. And from that we learn that there's something unique here that ordinarily there should have been bittel. Here there's no bittel. Okay. Now, that is what we call classically call bittel. We have two substances together. And then the question is, does one of them disappear? I'll give you a totally unrelated analogy. A very important question halacha from Hilchos Brachos. What bracha do you make on an ice cream sandwich? Or a piece of pie, fruit pie? Why? Let's assume for the moment that it's clear what the ikar is and it's not the sandwich part, it's the ice cream. Why? What bracha do you make on, should you make on shalit? I know that people have a different view, but to me it's clear. What bracha do you make on shalit? Mizonos. Assuming it has barley in it. Now, is the barley a majority of the shalit? No. So why do you make a mizonos on it? Kol sheyeshbo mechameshes aminim mevarach lambarino mizonos. However, if you look in the Ritva assumes that that's only when it's a taroves, when it's a bun. However, when it stands separate, then you follow the rules of Ikar v'Tofel. Now, why is that so? Why is that so? So the answer to me is Pashut. When I have a taroves, when I have an ice cream sandwich, not a taroves really, I have an ice cream sandwich, but it's together, I'm eating it once. What am I eating? What is the substance? When you look at the substance, what is it, Jared? My ice cream sandwich, you see that? Ice cream, you see? What? Maybe the part that you want, but what do you see here in front of you? What is this? It's an ice cream sandwich, meaning it's a sandwich, it's crackers, and it's also ice cream. You see both of them. It's two things together. It's kind of like Heta Mitzdarif Leisr. When I want to define what this is, I can say it's a cracker with ice cream in between. When I have a cholent, when I have something where one of the ingredients, and it's all, is mizonos, but it's all blended together, what do I have here? Exactly. I have a cholent. And what the halacha demands is we have to label what this is. What bracha is cholent? Cholent is not potatoes plus barley plus ketchup plus meat, if it's not vegetarian, plus whatever else you put in. A cholent is a cholent, right? That's what the word comes to mean. It's a mixture. I have to define what is this. So the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel say, Koshi yeshbo mechameshes aminim, you make a mizonos. In other words, unless it's a binder, if it's meant to be eaten as part of the tasted and so on, the definition of a cholent is a mizonos food. Why? Because one of its ingredients is bar mizonos, chameshes aminim. When I'm having an ice cream sandwich, we wouldn't say, I know the FDA regulations might say that you have to label all the ingredients each one, and if it's an ice cream sandwich, it might even tell you, may contain milk, okay? I love that. May contain peanuts. May contain nuts. Crazy world. So, if I had something to throw at you, I would. But an ice cream sandwich, in a normal world, an ice cream sandwich is ice cream plus a sandwich. Now, the same thing, I would argue, is true in our taruvos. The difference between lach b'lach and yavesh b'yavesh is that yavesh b'yavesh, the pieces stand separate there. What am I eating? I'm eating this piece, I'm eating that piece, I'm eating the other piece. You can't talk about bittul. You can talk about probabilities. Whereas when it's lach b'lach, it blends together, so what is this? It's a cholent. Now I have to define what is the cholent. And some of the ingredients just disappear into the cholent. So I would have said, I honestly would have said, that the Rashba's makor should have been Achei Rabim Lahatos, because he sees one, one, one. And the Rush, who has this new idea that this is bittul, where the Isser is Nepach Neoseter, That should have been from Midama Par Midama Sayir. Okay, but let's come back to the Rashba. And the Rashba says, if you eat them one by one by one. So I'm suggesting that regardless of what pasuk he quotes, the model is rove and safek. And I think it's explicit in his words. We will have to at least look at the Rashba's words in the Beis Yosef. That part has to be read. Especially when we try to clarify what the Shach claims, the Rashba says. And by the way, for those who I didn't talk to in Seder, I think I mentioned it. The Shach says you can eat two at once, according to the, did I talk about this? Then I know. Did I talk about this in Shir at all? Okay, the Shach claims, according to the Rashba, you can't eat all three at once, but you can eat two at once. I disagree, but I would argue on the Shach, but in terms of the Aruch HaShulchan says that also. That's what the Rashba holds. Now, so assuming, hold that on that for a moment. So tell me, Alter, why do you assume that eating all three at once is only the Rambanan? Why can you eat one according to the Rashba or the Ran? I pick up this one, this piece of salami. Why can I eat it? Well, what is this piece? Is it kosher or is it not kosher?
It's kosher.
Why? Which means the probability is there's a 66 and two-thirds percent chance that I'm eating heter. And the Torah says I can follow a rove. Now, what's the definition, by the way, of safek? It's very important in this discussion. There's one very problematic line in the Rush. There might be two, but one very difficult line in the Rush I don't know what to do with because I don't think he uses the word suffix properly. What is the word? What does suffix mean in practice? Not, I know it means doubtful.
It means a possibility that there isn't, or does it mean 50%?
I think it means 50%. I think it means 50% or indeterminate. Okay. Indeterminate when we don't have a statistical majority. That's what suffix means. Once something is a rove, to give you a mashal, although it's a little complicated, for now I'm going to oversimplify and I'm going to adopt the position we don't paskin like. I have a piece of meat here. It's a question of whether it's shuman or chaylev. It might be prohibited fat or permitted fat. If it's prohibited fat and I eat it b'mezid, it means I'm chayv karis. And therefore, if I eat it b'shogeg, it means I have to bring a karban chatas. What happens if I have a piece that I'm not sure whether it's chaylev or shuman, and I eat it, what's the din? If I violate b'safek, a isser that had done the mezid would be kares. I'm mechal Shabbos b'sofek. I'm not sure whether I was mechal Shabbos or not. I did something, I wasn't sure exactly what I did. I eat something, I'm not sure whether it was a kosher or the treif, and if it's treif, it's an isser kares. What happens if I do such a thing? What do I have to do? I bring an asham talui. I'm oversimplifying the case right now a lot. If I have a piece of meat in front of me where it is 51% probability that it's kosher and 49% probability that it's treif and I eat it, what do I bring? Nothing. 51% probably it's kosher. If it is a 50% probability that it's kosher and 50% probably it's treif, what do I bring? Hashem Talay. If it's a 51% probability that it's treif and 49% that it's kosher, what do I bring? Chatas. Right? In other words, I'm pretty sure that for regular cases, we talk about suffix versus rove. Suffix versus rove. Suffix means 50% or sufficiently indeterminate. We don't have and we can't put a label, we can't put a which box it goes into. So Alter, when I eat I take the first piece out, it's a rove that it's kosher. It's a 2/3 probability. So I eat it, yum. I pick up the second piece. What's the probability that this is kosher? Okay, so I eat it, yum. I pick up the third piece. What's the probability that's kosher?
Same thing?
Okay. Now you're going to tell me, but you know by the time you get the third piece, I've for sure eaten the answer. So that may be what bothers Tosis. That's cosmetic or that's superficial. It's not fundamental. It's not fundamental. I think there are only two fundamental positions. What?
You're going in.
That's okay.
That's
okay. Said, it doesn't matter. I'm planning on being Mechal Shabbos this week. That's very nice. But it only matters if I am Mechal Shabbos.
You were Mechal Shabbos.
Yeah, what?
You were. In this case, you were.
No, you weren't.
You ate something.
No. I want to know when I walk into Beis and I ask the Shaila, is this kosher or treif? They tell me kosher. I go to the next one. I eat yum. Is it kosher or treif? It's kosher. I ask them, it's kosher. They would tell me all three are
mutter. No, but according to the Rosh, they would. According to the Rosh, they would tell you it's probably kosher.
That's fine. Am I allowed to eat it? The answer is
yes
because it's probably
and you're
kosher.
You eat this one too individually and this one too individually. But at the end of the day, you did eat something treif.
What's that? No, I'm not asking whether or not the item that in the world of metaphysics was treif eventually made it through my mouth into my stomach. I'm asking whether I eat something that was usher to eat.
But I think using this logic, you can't get around that. Because if it's all about probabilities, at a certain point, you stack up to a 100%.
Yeah, but
the Rashba knows that. Did you read the Rashba on the Beis Yosef?
No, I understand.
So he says, when I get to the third one, so what are you going to say? Well, it probably was in one of the earlier ones.
So
I'm explaining to you what the Rashba holds. What?
Did you have to bring a chatas?
No, it's mutter.
It was mutter for
it's mutter. You get shlishi and you mutter yona.
You did a bunch of you know maasot that were mutar. But at the end of the day, you had you did consume something of the sort.
That if you're worried on a kabbalistic level of matam desalev, that's not my problem. I'm a litvak today. Okay.
No, but I why is that like a is that onis?
No, the way we determine whether you're an avarian or not is whether or not you do averos. Did you do an avera? The answer is, well, how do we evaluate you did an avera? Well, we look at your actions. If the action you did is usher, then you're an avarian. If the action you did is mutter, you're not an avarian. That's all. That is what the Rashba is teaching you here. It's quite clear in the Rashba.
It makes sense from a derabbanan level, from the reds, I don't understand it at all.
Why?
You eat them all, either they're all mutter.
You're asking why you can't eat all three at the same time.
What's that?
He seems to be choosing an awkward halfway.
No. Why is that hard? Because when I'm eating them all at the same time, am I eating Isser now? The answer is yes. I am.
And if it was asked for
Yes. That's Aser Minat Torah. When I eat one at a time, am I eating Iser now? The answer is probably no.
You know,
it's not so hard. Let me just give you a simple example of physical life. All right? Noam, you're a skinny guy. Can I shove Noam through that window?
Yes.
Maybe. Okay. Tal, you're a pretty skinny guy. Can I shove you through that window? Yes. Okay. CJ, you're a pretty skinny guy. Can I shove you through that window? I could keep going. They're mostly skinny guys. Can I shove the window? Yes. Can I take the three of you, bundle you together, and shove you through the window? What's that? There's no such thing as one third usher. It's either usher or mutter. I want to know. Well, can I shove Noam through the window? Well, I know it's not a perfect analogy. I got it. But the point for the Rashba is that we look at an individual's action, and we want to know, is it mutter or usher? And the way we determine whether it's mutter or usher is, what is its probability? And if it's more likely mutter than usher, it's mutter. If it's more likely usher than mutter, it's usher. If it's a suffix, then it's usher, machlokas, rama, rashba, whether it's the rice or the rabbanon. Okay?
So then just on this, could we apply this indiscriminately, or would this only apply in cases where we purely care about action and not results?
You have to give me an example, you know that I think concretely. You may not, take your time to think about it. You don't have to ask me give me the example now. I'll tell you where we look at results, not only actions. But carefully, the example I gave you with the quarters. Right, mammon is not batel. Now, what does that mean? The quarter is batel. I can keep all three quarters, and I'll have to give you 25 cents, however I make that up. Right, but what that means is that for dine mammon's purposes, for results, mammon's not batel. On the guf hadavar, the mammon's batel. The cheftz is batel, but the result matters. By iser v'heter, it doesn't matter. God doesn't care. You might even say it this way: would it be aser? I mean, there's probably halacha l'maisa. I don't know. I don't know, and I should know this. I assume a feeding tube is aligned directly into the stomach somehow. I don't know if it goes through the mouth or goes through the stomach. Okay, that's even better. Is it usher to put chazer in the stomach?
No.
I think the answer is me'ikara din no. We're not going to do that even in Bikias, but the last gemaras in the Perek in Gidon Asher talk about the following scenario. Supposing I swallow half a kazayas of iser and then I regurgitate it immediately and I swallow it again. Am I chayef? Had I eaten a kazayas? Is it hanas garon or hanas meayim? But even though hanas meayim plays a role, nonetheless, it has to go through your throat. I'll be then. I don't think it matters. It goes directly into your stomach. And there must be a literature in the postgame about this. But fine. So I would say the following. So the Rashba would tell you the fact that there's iser in your stomach is irrelevant. We don't care that there is a kazayas of iser in your stomach. What matters is how it got there. If it doesn't go through the throat, it goes directly into the stomach, it's mutter. And going through the throat means that I eat it be iser. And if I eat it beheter, I don't care that at the end of the day there's a kazayas of iser in my stomach. It got there beheter. It doesn't matter whether it came through a feeding tube from the outside or it was a halachic feeding tube. Okay. So, there are, by the way, so in fairness, even though I disagree completely, in fairness, there are achronim want to say does the Aruch HaShulchan even suggest that? I don't remember. He might, which I don't think makes sense with his other comments, that maybe it's only Drabbanon. No, I don't, no, that's not that. No, he's something else. Oh, but some want to say the Rashba holds it's only Drabbanon. I'll tell you who I'm certain must hold for the Rashba it's only Drabbanon, I think. The Shach. The Shach who says that you're allowed to eat two of the three pieces at once. Why? What does that mean? What's bothering me about the Shach? Can someone explain to me who didn't talk to me about it? What's bothering me about the Shach? The Shach says that according to the Rashba, you can't eat all three at once, but you can eat two and then you can eat one. CJ? Yeah, when you eat the two, you're probably eating treif. So it should be awesome. So what must the Shach be assuming in the Rashba, I think?
Psychology.
Not psychology, but that it's only isa awesome in the Rabbanon, and the way the Rabbanon constructed the Gzera is as long as you're not vaday eating treif now, it's mutter. So even though I'm eating rov treif, it's not vaday treif. Right. There does exist such a... I can only think of one place in halacha. One place in halacha where in order to be usher, it has to be vaday, and anything short of a vaday is mutter. Anyone know what that is? It's obscure. It's not that obscure, but if you're a Zionist and you make aliyah, it won't apply to you. Or in Latin, chutz la'aretz. Orla applies midoraisa in Eretz Yisrael and halacha l'moshe misinai, which is doraisa, in chutz laretz. But the halacha l'moshe misinai says it has to be vadai orla. If there's even a 1% doubt, if you don't know with absolute certainty that it is orla, you're allowed to consume it if it's orla's chutz laretz. Eretz Yisrael orla is like all other machalos asuros, fellow rov. So again, I'm not suggesting that this is doraisa in that fashion, but the chachamim only what goes there when it's definitely iser. But I think that means the shach's position, I think, has to be the rabbanon. But to me, the intuitive position is the raisa, and it's based upon analyzing each action as you do it. Okay, fine. So now I think we've... Yes?
How do we separate actions then? Is it a requirement that they have to be or something, or is it just that you're not even...
It's an excellent comment. I think you're right, even though I hadn't actually seen it said. I assume... It's not stated explicitly, but it's davar pashut. If you can't eat them ka'achas, what does ka'achas mean? So I always say, put them on a club roll and eat them together, but that shouldn't be necessary. As long as you eat the three betol kedei achilas pras, that should be the same issue. That is called ka'achas. Yeah, I never thought about that, but yeah, you don't have to put it on the same sandwich.
Even though they're not, again, it's not going down your throat, each one is going down your throat better then.
Except that it's, when we say going down your throat, the way we measure things is whatever was eaten betol kedei achilas pras. Okay, that's what I think. Okay, so now let me go to the next step. Okay, so if that's what the Rashba indeed holds, does it then follow that if you cook these three together, that it has to be asa? What?
Yeah. What?
So it's not. It's understandable. By the way, the Rashba's position is yes. The Rashba. Some of you who've gotten to the Beis Yosef. Well, no, the pieces remain separate. The flavor blends in the liquid and the soup.
Well, this is the pieces don't we care about the flavor more than anything else?
Yes, but this is mindamina. So that's what makes it. It can only be the Rabbanon. Now, the Rashba wrote in Torah Sabayis that what's the din if you cook the three together? What did he originally write in the Torah Sabayis? That it was mutter. And I haven't checked this, but I'm pretty sure based upon the notion that I have, Rabbi Schwartz challenged this, but he's right, but I'm sure the Beis Yosef says in a few places that the Torah only had the Torah Sabayis HaKatzar. So I'm pretty sure if you go look in the Torah Sabayis HaKatzar, you will see that he quotes the Rashba as saying that it's permissible to cook them together and still eat them. The Rashba was asked about this, that based upon his position, that to eat them kulam ka'ahas tzasar, and in a tshuva, this is all in the Beis Yosef. And in a tshuva, the Rashba responded, I made a mistake, I was wrong, and I told him to correct the Torah Sabayis, to say that you can't cook them at the same time together. Okay. That's what the Rashba himself says. But you might ask the question, what is the Torah thinking? Right? The Torah quotes the Torah, it could may not have the Torah Sabayis, but how does he understand the Rashba's position? How does he understand the Rashba's position that you're allowed to cook them at the same time together? So that's so balabatish. But you went through Yeshiva Haratzion, and I want something better than that. I want to point you to a case that might explain a very bizarre position in the Rashba, which I still don't really understand. According to the Rashba, are you allowed to take two of these pieces and cook them on one side of the pot and one of the pieces and cook it on the other side of the pot?
Yes.
I do not understand why. What difference does it make, the arrangement? You're cooking the three at the same time. I have no idea. But at least to explain partially, it might be the same hesber that underlies the Torah. Why does the Torah absorb the Rashba Shita, even though it's totally inconsistent? The same Rashba who says that you can't eat them all at once says that you cook the three together and then eat the soup. So how might one explain the fact, either of these two questions, how might it be possible? Well, the Rashba said he made a mistake. But what... Unless the Rashba was just totally not thinking when he wrote what he wrote originally, what might have been the svara for the Rashba? How might it be that you can't eat the three pieces bevasachas, but you can eat the soup? And I don't want, because we don't make exer with exer. I want to be din. I want to make a crazy argument, maybe, that even if it was mimbishen omino, and let's assume that mimbishen omino midoraisa is batel berov yavish biyavish. Maybe even mimbishen omino, I could have argued that it's butter. Maybe. Why does Rush say that you're allowed to cook the three together? Yes, but he also makes a comment about how absurd it would be to say that it's us or why.
Because you can't have something that...
Yeah, say it, Josh.
You can't have something that was had there in one form and then turned into an iser.
Well, you can't have something which is mutter, but the tzir, the thing that which comes out of it, is in fact usr. The klal that the Gemara has in Bechoros, why are you not allowed to eat, drink camel milk? The Torah doesn't say alav, there might be, there's an asay. The rule is, hayotzeim and hatame tamer, hayotzeim and hatar tar. If a cow gives birth to a calf, and the calf has hooves that are fused, it's a kolut ben para. It's the Mishnah in Bechoros. Kolut ben para. Are you allowed to eat the calf? It doesn't have split hooves. The rule is hayotzei min ha-tohar tar, hayotzei min ha-tame tame. So you can't have davar hamutar shetziro, that it's brine, that it's sauce, that it's juice, comes out and is asr. So it's possible that what the Rashba was thinking, that the Torah might still be thinking, that might be the other svar in the Rashba, might be that in a hanami, to eat the three pieces of isr together is in fact asr. But when we talk about the tzir itself, the soup, it is impossible to say that the tzir, which comes out, is asr. Because the thing is mutter. And there's no, just because the tzir is mixed together, that's not called having the isr together at the same time. It's one thing to say, when I have three pieces of meat, I'm allowed to eat all three until I fuse them together. Because the isr remains be'isuro. It's still asr. It's just I don't know where it is, and probability allows me to eat one, and then to eat another, and then to eat another. But it might be that the tzir, which is effectively a new thing that comes out, cannot become asr in the first place. Because am I allowed to eat this? Yes. Tziro mutter. Can I eat this? Yes. Tziro mutter. Can I eat this? Yes. Tziro mutter. Maybe. You could still explain why it would be asr. So the round bottom line says, it is asr. It is asr. But it didn't have to be that way. In other words, what the Rashba said originally and what the Torah quotes, even though the Rashba backed out, the Torah doesn't seem to know that, it is not in the realm of impossibility. Noam, and then Ellen.
That being said, though, according to the Rashba's logic, the identity of the meat is still usr. You just get off on the technicality.
What I'm suggesting now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and what I'm suggesting for the tier and what he suggests for echad.
But in that case, then the tier should totally, there should be no issue with the tier being usr either, because it's not being created by something mutar. The meat is fundamentally usr. You can just eat it.
Okay, so that's the counter argument for me. I understand. Ellie?
That was my
okay. Yeah, and I can at least understand where to start the distinction between the two. I mean, there's really the chiddush in this that I'm suggesting is that the tzir is in effect a new creation, which is not totally crazy because if you think about it, a camel is treif and in iser lav, the milk of a camel is only in iser aseh. Right? The hayotzei min hagamal is not have the status of gamal. It's aser, but it's not the same iser as gamal. So in other words, the milk, which is like the tzir that comes out of the piece, is in fact, a new thing here. In fact, I'll jump ahead to something in Sadi Ches for a moment, because everything conceptually links. All right, I told you this in Machlokas whether Tam Ki'ikar is Midaraisa or not. So let me ask you a question. If Tam Ki'ikar is Midaraisa, and I eat, let's say I have pig fat, I have Chazer Schmelz, that was mixed into my stew, and it gives a flavor to it. It gives a flavor to it. But let's say there's not a kezayis ketocha de'achilas pras. There's not a certain apple. I just have flavor. It was like 1/40th and it flavors it. It's an issa d'araisa. If I eat it, do I get malchus? This is such a classic brisker.
Yes.
Akira, but it's already in tosis. Yes. Anybody want to disagree with him? What? So why would you get malchus? What would the, in order to get malchus, you have to violate an issa. What issa did you violate? Of chazer. Okay. So you're saying that when you eat this ta'am, the ta'am of chazer is ke'ikar. It's like eating the chazer itself. There is another position amongst the Balei Tosfos. In fact, the Torah conflates Rabbeinu Tam's position, which is what you cited, with Rabbeinu Nisana, Rabbeinu Chaim's position. I forget who says it. It's cited different names, different places. Who says something different. And what does he say? He says, you don't get Malkus. But it's also Midaraisa. Why don't you get Malkus? What? Yes, but if Tam ke'ikar, that's not why he says it, actually. He says, if... what's that? So let me ask the following question. You're not allowed to, if you have an animal that's kachim, let's say you have a bechor. This week's parsha, it's always this week's parsha. Lo savod bivchor shorecha v'lo sagoz bechor tzonecha. I have a shor that's a bechor, supposed to be brought as a karbon. Who's my kohen? Jared, thank you. So everybody will bring their Meheri Bana Beis HaMikdash, and the shir will be learning Chulin together. Everybody will give them, see, it's good to be the only Kohen in the shir. Okay? Like if you were Rabbi Konigsberg shir, for example, so he's a Kohen, so they'd all give it to him. But I'm not a Kohen, so in this shir, they'll give it to you. Okay, so you give him a Bechor, and you're not allowed to do Avoda with it. You can't have the shir, this young calf, pull a plow. Now, this poor Bechor accidentally gets a mum. How convenient. Now you can shecht it. You can't bring it as a carbon. You shecht it in your backyard in Tinek. Very nice. And you call your neighbors, you invite them for a meal, because now it's like chulin. But here's the deal. You're not allowed to do avoda b'shor p'sulei hamikdashim. You're still not allowed to do avoda. You can't shear it if it's a sheep. How do you know that? Because the Torah says, in this week's parasha, rak b'chol avas nafshecha, tizbach v'ochal tov asar. And Chazal understand that that pasuk is talking about shor p'sulei hamikdashim, not regular chulin. And they say, tizbach v'lo giza, v'ochalta v'lo klavecha, and maybe tizbach v'lo giza v'lo avoda. In other words, even though the animal is chula now, and you can shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a korban, it still has kedushas bechor, and you can't do avoda and giza. So how do we know? Because it says tizbach v'lo giza v'avoda. Did you get malchus? If you work with a regular, your bechor is, when the bechor is healthy, and you decide to have it mow your lawn and it pulls a little, you know, lawnmower behind it. So you get Malkus to do that. But now that it is a mum, and it's sharp Sulah Hamakdashim, so do you get Malkus for doing that? Now, is the makar a losase?
No, just tizbach.
No, tizbach is what we call that. Anyone know?
Isarase.
It's an isarase. It's a prohibition, but it's formulated in positive terms. And the rule is, in order to get Malkus, it has to be alav sheish b'maisa, alav she'ino nidiklase, alav that's not shebecholos, and it has to be formulated as a losase. Requirement number four. So here's the question. Do you get Malkus for plowing with your shor once it got a mum? And the answer is yes. How do you get Malkus? It's learned from an asay. Tizbach v'lo gizah avoda. So what's the answer? So Rabbeinu Tam says, Ahadre l'isura kama. When the Torah prohibited X, and now the status changes, and now the Torah tells you that this is still prohibited, it's the original prohibition. It's not a new prohibition. So there's a machlokes harishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and some of the Balei Tosfos, where the Tam ke'ikar is a new iser. Come on, this is so risky. Or, no, Ahadre l'isura kama. Once the Torah says, you can't eat chazer, but now the chazer is mixed in, it's only Tam. Now the Torah tells you Tam ke'ikar. So does that mean it's a new Isser of Tam Kikar? Or does it mean it's a Hadre, Hechziro, La'ahli Surakama, to the original Isser? So that's the Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam, and some of the other Balei Hatosos. They all agree Tam Kikar is the Raisa, but the question is, it is a new Isser of some type of Isser Asay, whatever it's learned from, or does it restore things to the original Isser, and you're eating Chazir in this case? Now, but for those who hold that Tam Kikar is only, you don't get Malkus, that it's a new Isser, so then it's Pashut, what I'm saying, Noam. Right? In other words, I have this piece of meat, and it's mutter to eat it, which means something that comes out of it now, in effect, is a new iser. It's like I milked the piece of meat. I pulled stuff out. That's got to be a new iser. And maybe that, since I'm allowed to eat this, and I'm allowed to eat this, and I'm allowed to eat this, you can't create a new iser out of that. You need the parent, in effect, the proverbial parent, to be awesome. Okay, so such a possibility, it could have existed. The Ran doesn't hold that way, and the Rashba doesn't hold that way, but the Torah citation of the Rashba is, in fact, that way. Okay, so let's just finish the Ran. So he says, I don't know exactly where we left off, but Mihu. The Kasav Aaron Alevizal?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So Mihu, Kasav of Aaron Rav Rabbeinu Aaron Alevizal. Who was Rabbeinu Aaron Alevizal? He was known as the he was the Rashbaz Bar Plota. I believe he was the Baal Hamor's grandson. The Baal Hamor's was Rache Halevi, and I'm pretty sure he was the grandson of the Baal Hamor. He was a student of the Ramban, and he was the primary Rebbe of the Ritva. The Ritva. So I think the Ran is at least a generation after that. I'm not sure. I have to go check my art score Rishonim book to see.
I thought it was one of the Rans. Maybe it's the Miuchas Ran, the actual Ran. Maybe one of the Rans is on
the Ran. He is one of the... I think it's been accepted that it's not the case, but he's one of the suspected authors of the Sefer Chinuch. I don't know if he's been dismissed as a possibility, but he's living in Spain, probably Barcelona, late 13th century. So the Ra'o says... Therefore, in Balavashlon Ke'echad, since you're allowed to eat each individual one individually, if you want to cook them, Marba Aleim Kedeshir Shisham Umavashlon Lechatchila. You know what you could do? I have three pieces of meat. Two pieces are kosher, one is treif. I can't cook them together because I don't have Shisham. But I'm allowed to add 58 more pieces of meat. Now, I have Shishim of Heter, one of Isser, and I'm allowed to cook them together. Why am I allowed to cook them together? Eim avat l'nisr l'chathchila. So the Ra'a says, it's not Isser. It only becomes Asser when? When does the Isser become Asser? When you cook it and you blend the tam. So if you add 58 right now into the mix, I have a tarovis before I cook it, it's all Heter. And when I cook it, what happens? It all remains heter. So that's what the Ra'a says. You're allowed to do that. Umisham mevatel isur lechatchila leka shekevan shekol echad b'fnei atzma mutter in kan isur. Since each one is mutter, it's not called mevatlin isur lechatchila. It's being mevatel heter lechatchila or being mevatel heter, so it's not bali de isur. That's what the Ra'a says, and the Rama will actually quote this Ra'a from the Ran. I haven't found the Ra'a. I haven't looked that hard, but I did look. I didn't see it in the Bedek Havayis. I guess I wouldn't expect it in the Bedek Havayis because he's not arguing with the Rashba here. The Rashba doesn't adopt a position on this issue. In fact, I assume the Ra'a agrees with the Rashba that you're not allowed to cook three of them together. You can't eat them all at the same time. Okay. Now, the next step is the Rush. I think I'm not going to start the Rush now. I think you all know what the Rush's position is, right? What's the Rush's position? Colin, someone who's not been talking all the time?
Sandwich.
You can have a sandwich. That's the Rush's position. I'll leave you with one piece of very important food for thought. Those of you who did the Rush, what is the most interesting aspect of the Rush's position? Of all the things the Rush says, once you get past that starting point, what is the strangest thing that he says? There could be more. I think this one primary altar. That's interesting. That's very important. I think there's something even wilder than that, Josh.
Is it that if you're mostly following Isser, it's time to Usher?
If you the rush. Well, how does the Rush understand what's going on here? Why can you eat all three at once? Isser nepach lios heter. Okay, fine. So now when I add two pieces of Isser in here, the Rush says it's Usher. Chasra v'neora. The Isser wakes up, but I don't understand. You said that the Isser was Nepach Leos Heter. Now, I think that the Rush holds that it's Daraisa. The Baruch HaShulchan claims only the Rabbanon, which is kind of wild, because in the Torah, I just figured out how to mitar all the Nevelis in the world. Chop everything up into pieces, take a pile of kosher meat, and assuming that Mevatlis Chachil is not Daraisa, it might be, but okay, let's assume it's not, so I'm sure about that it's not Daraisa. Throw one in. Okay. Throw two in. Just keep going. You'll have a million behemoths which are nevelos and one behemoth which is ksheira, and they're all ksheiros. That's what would come out of Siddur Shita. I disagree. I think that Rush holds in Isser Deraisa. But the question is, what's the svara behind it? If it's so powerful that you say, Isser Nepach Leos Heter, that I'm looking at all three, I put them on a sandwich, Baruch Atah Hashem Lekem Lecham, Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz, or whatever the bracha is here, you're telling me this is all Heter, and I'm eating it now, Bavas Achas. And now you turn around and say, but when more Isser falls in, the Isser comes alive. Like, what's going on? It was already magically transformed. Right, how does it untransform?
It seems sort of continuous mental.
What's that?
Every second.
I mean, you're right. It's true. You're just restating the problem. The Rush does make one very important point. That's what led me to the Monty Hall problem. But we will try to talk about the Rush tomorrow and finish up whatever more we're going to talk about on the Simmon. I don't want to spend more time on that. And next week we'll start with the Kiyas and Simmons Adihas. Okay, any questions? Comments? Going once, twice. So, okay.
You do it every day.